and welcome to the Provider Podcast by NHS Providers. My name's Adam Brimelow, and in this episode, we're reflecting on NHS Providers' Annual Conference 2021. Switch from face-to-face to virtual just days ahead of the event was nevertheless a real success in bringing together trust leaders and senior stakeholders for very timely, insightful and often memorable conversations about the challenges, concerns and opportunities ahead. We'll be reflecting on what was said by Amanda Pritchard, NHS England Chief Executive, Sajid Javid, Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, and we'll also be hearing from Dave West, Deputy Editor at the Health Service Journal, about his thoughts on the conference and the speakers. You can join in the conversation by following us on Twitter and LinkedIn at NHS Providers with the hashtag #TheProviderPodcast and keep up to date on future episodes by subscribing to the podcast. So it was great to have more than 600 delegates, speakers and sponsors joining us each day for the plenary sessions of our annual conference, which went ahead as scheduled. And there's actually more to come in the next few weeks. That's the added flexibility of a virtual conference. We'll be in touch with members and previous delegates with all the details on that very soon. But first, let's look at those sessions. Really a fascinating couple of days exploring so many of the key issues, obviously covering COVID and operational pressures, but also transformation, collaboration, supporting the workforce, health and race equality, and speaking truth to power. And great speakers sharing experiences and ideas, setting out their plans and answering questions from trust leaders. We'll go through some of the highlights in a moment, but first, a quick overview from Health Service Journal's Deputy Editor Dave West. I began by asking him about the findings from our State of the Provider Sector report, which picked up strong broadcast, newspaper and social media coverage, highlighting trust leaders' concerns as we head into winter.
So in terms of that survey, which we launched to coincide with the start of our conference, there was a really strong message coming across from trust leaders that essentially trusts are operating beyond full stretch, and that's been registered there across a whole array of parameters. I'm sure that that's a theme that's coming through to you and your colleagues at Health Service Journal as well.
Yes, certainly. And this time of year, it's always starting to loom large in the health service leaders' minds that what winter's going to be like. But this year, I think we're in a different territory with there having been pretty severe operational pressure on, you know, particularly on the urgent and emergency care, but more widely as well. And there's been pretty significant pressure since the beginning of the summer, I think, and just kind of growing and growing to a point where you think, what happens next? How far can this go? And looking into winter, obviously, that's what people are contemplating. So it's really, and you could see throughout your conference, so that was dominating people's thoughts.
Interesting, I thought, the extent to which both Amanda Pritchard and Sajid Javid went to really acknowledge the extent of those pressures.
They did, yeah. And Amanda, as you know, since she took over in July and before, I think, has been keen to make sure that healthcare leaders and staff in the NHS know that she feels their pain in a way that she gets it, and she's been a provider chief executive not very long ago, and that she understands all the difficulties out there and wishes to be as supportive of people and as staff as she can. That's our write-up of her speech, which was her first talk at the NHS Providers Conference, a big moment for a new NHS chief executive, particularly one who sees herself and is someone of an NHS provider background. And it was a big moment, and our headline was that she gets it, that she feels and understands the pressures that are out there.
And for Sajid Javid, a first for him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with so much change at the top of the health and social care system this year, Sajid Javid's first NHS Providers speech too. And I think, as you say, he did go some way to sort of, he gets it as well, gets that it's hard for the NHS and gets that the NHS is working hard. I think with Sajid, there's a sort of a slightly different dynamic there, of course, isn't there? And it came across in some of the comments that the NHS Providers Chief Exec Chris Hobson made to HSJ before the conference. conference about how there is some briefing, and alongside the Messenger Review of NHS and care leadership, there are some suggestions out in the media, which appear sometimes to be sourced from government sources, about the fact that NHS leadership may actually be to blame for some of the pressures in the service, and it could be doing more to take down waiting lists and all that sort of thing. So there's the one kind of Sajid Javid seems like a really serious health and social care secretary who appears to, you know, be smart enough to get things to get that really these problems aren't due to variation in leadership, and to get all the structural things underpinning a lot of the problems that the health and care system faces. On the other hand, there's a sort of slight concern that actually him or his government are also involved in a kind of an undercurrent of suggestion that this is somehow the NHS could be trying harder on all this. And one of the good things about the NHS providers conference is you get some questions in from people who are quite a lot from people who are chief executives and chairs of NHS organisations, and some of those come in, some asked and some not, but interesting to see chief execs raising those kind of issues. And I think someone had raised the fact that parts of government use this term woke and things in relation to work that the NHS wants to do and is doing on equalities and diversity, for example, and querying, you know, is Sajid Javid, which, you know, the serious sort of I'm giving a speech and talking openly, Sajid Javid is really prioritising health inequalities and diversity, and particularly racial and ethnic diversity and variation in outcomes and in healthcare. So that's sort of, you know, fits with a lot of what NHS leaders and the NHS want to do. But yet again, in the background, there he's surrounded by some in government who seem to be not full square behind that. So I thought that was an interesting tension there as well in that speech.
So Dave West there mentioned Amanda Pritchard's speech, an important moment for her to set out her priorities. She also spoke powerfully about the pressures the service is under.
You can trust the fact that when you have told me, as many of you have, just how challenging it is on the ground, when you have described the rising demand for urgent care in A&E and the community, when you have talked about the intensity of pressures on our workforce, I have heard you. And I feel those pressures with you. The number of COVID positive inpatients is heading in the right direction at the moment, though there are still thousands of very ill patients in our hospitals receiving expert care. Yesterday, 6,864. And we know, though, that even greater pressure is being felt in the non-COVID urgent and emergency care system as people come back to our services, having perhaps, for understandable reasons, stayed away during the pandemic. Equally, challenges at the back door in discharging patients to a very stretched social care system are meaning patients are spending too long in A&E, meaning ambulances are spending too long waiting to hand over patients, meaning response times are not what any of us would want them to be. And the indications suggest we are not going to get any let up for a while. So look, you will know that you have put in a huge amount of effort and resource into preparing for this, as set out in the 10-point urgent emergency care recovery plan. Some of the things in that include supporting 999 and 111 services to recruit more call handlers with an investment of £55 million and £23 million respectively, maximising availability of urgent care services to provide alternatives to A&E, improving hospital flow and discharge, particularly ensuring we've got those same day emergency care facilities and direct referral routes in place to bypass A&E where appropriate. For the first time ever, there is a primary care winter access fund, so £250 million for GPs and their teams to help make more appointments available over the coming months. But look, we know the next few months are going to be a winter like no other. So our collective focus must, of course, be then on patient safety. And I know this will be front of mind for everyone on this session.
Amanda Pritchard there, spelling out the pressures trusts and frontline staff have faced and will continue to face in the coming weeks and months. Other big themes in her speech were continuing the vaccination programme, tackling the backlog and transforming for the future, with a strong emphasis on workforce and also prevention, tackling health inequalities. On that last point, we had some interesting reflections from Chris Hobson and Saffron Cordery in the opening session in conversation with the conference chair, the broadcaster Samira Ahmed. Saffron set out her take on the key lessons of the pandemic.
I think there's the legacy, isn't there, of COVID, which is the care backlog, which is huge, but also what staff on the front line have experienced and suffered, actually, loss of life of their colleagues, you know, witnessing so much in terms of what it's like to be treating, you know, 34,000 patients in ICU. But I think the other thing I'm really struck by is what happened during COVID and how we learned so much and how we need to be able to bake in that learning, but also refine it, because I think it would be dangerous just to think, okay, we did all sorts of things really differently during COVID and now let's carry on doing it in that way, because we really have to refine those approaches. You can turn on a sixpence, but then you have to reset your course, I think. So that's really important. The other thing I would say is that the big thing that we learned during COVID was around health inequalities and the impact of a lack of health equality on staff, on patients. COVID impacted differentially, and that knowledge and understanding is spreading out through how we tackle the care backlog, for example, and how we think about how we deliver services to patients. So that focus on tackling racial injustice, on tackling health inequalities is absolutely critical. For me, that is the biggest learning that we've had out of COVID, because that will permeate every element of what we do. We need to do it quickly, but that will be there for the longer term as well. And I think it's absolutely critical we keep that as a priority.
And there was a sense at the conference that we're at a key moment, not only in identifying and acting on those lessons from the pandemic, but recognising too the gathering expectation building up around the NHS because of the increased funding through the health and care levy. Not enough to meet the demands, but nevertheless a significant boost at a time of severe spending constraints. Anita Charlesworth from the Health Foundation talked about what this would mean for leaders of trusts and systems.
I think this is a really important issue going forward, because obviously with the levy, people are going to see that they are spending ever more on the NHS. That's going to be very visible to the public, and they're going to want a lot of reassurance then that that's delivering outcomes and ensuring value for money. So I think what I would say is that big picture matters a great deal. So our ability to tackle inequalities, to improve population health. But as ever, the challenge of healthcare is that you've got to operate on multiple fronts. So a lot of what drives public opinion is also then in what I would call operational excellence. The extent to which when people encounter the NHS, they see a service that does run quite seamlessly between different sectors, and an awful lot of when people report dissatisfaction with the NHS, we know that individual episodes of care, individual encounters can be very good, but the join is pretty poor, and that they see waste and duplication, as they would argue then. So a lot of the micro detail about everyday operational excellence is actually really, really important to shaping public attitudes. But actually, I think it's also really important for our staff in the system as well, because an awful lot of the things that make the public concerned about how the NHS operates are also the bugbears that take the joy out of work for staff day to day as well. So I think for ICSs, the challenge is going to be to look at that system, to look big picture, but make sure also that we don't take our eye off the ball of the day-to-day detail that matters greatly to the experience of staff and matters greatly to the views of the public and their experience.
That was Anita Charlesworth. There were so many highlights at the conference, it's hard just to pick out a few, but it's certainly important to include the Health and Social Care Secretary, Sajid Javid. He spoke about leadership, what's been accomplished in rising to the occasion during the pandemic, but also how to meet the challenges to come.
We need the best possible leadership in place too. The coronavirus pandemic has been a test of leadership on so many ways, and so many leaders in the NHS have risen to the occasion. We set up the leadership review led by General Sir Gordon Messenger and Dame Linda Pollard to take the very best of what we've seen and apply it to the new challenges that lie ahead. To meet these challenges, we'll also need senior leaders with a whole multitude of skills, not just managerial and clinical, but digital, and all the attributes that we will put in place will put us in a really strong position for the future. So we can forge this drive, this new era of recovery and reform, and give the best possible care now for future generations. And this is now more important than ever. You see, we are at a pivotal moment in the history of the NHS. We've come so far in fighting this pandemic, and we must never forget the part of the NHS, the part that it played when our country called for it. And now we have a chance to write a new chapter, building on the new ideas and the momentum that we've seen. And I can't wait to work with you to write it.
That was Sajid Javid, and I'm joined now by Chris Hobson, Chief Executive of NHS Providers. Chris, from the feedback we've seen, despite having to switch late to a virtual approach, this conference so far has been a great success. Fantastic engagement, excellent speakers, right on topic, and some really important learning for the future.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit unfortunate having to kind of switch online at a very, very late moment. But I'd like to really thank both our staff, but also our members for accommodating that switch. I thought it was a really, really great conference. I thought actually it was the best set of kind of content and sessions that we've ever had. We had lots of people coming along, and I thought it worked really, really well given that late switch. So, yeah, thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you to the staff team for making that switch work.
So clearly this was an important moment for Amanda Pritchard. We heard about those priorities dealing with winter, vaccine rollout, addressing the backlog and transforming for the future. Is all that really going to be realistic?
Yeah, I thought it was. It's Amanda's kind of first big speech, and I thought she did a really good job. And I thought the bit where she started, I thought was really important, basically saying to people she had heard really clearly the degree of pressure that the service is under. One of the things I personally find slightly frustrating is the fact that people don't realise the kind of pressures that the Chief Executive of NHS England needs to navigate in terms of, on the one hand, being the voice of the service and recognising the pressures the service is under, but equally they have a job to do, to work with the Secretary of State and the politicians. And you can't just wade in and say, it's all going to, you know, hell in the handcart, it's all dreadful, we need lots more money, etc. So there's a very careful line that I think people who do that job need to kind of walk, and I thought Amanda did a really good job of it. However, you're absolutely right. The obvious kind of question to ask is there is a huge amount to do here. I think everybody feels under huge amounts of pressure to deal with those day-to-day operational pressures, particularly with winter coming up. There's clearly a major job to do to recover care backlogs. And then quite rightly, she pointed to the fact that there is a very significant job to do to effect transformational change across the NHS. And we know a whole bunch of areas, digital, care integration, ensuring that we support people to lead a healthier lives so that the demand coming into the NHS, there's a whole bunch of things we need to do. So yes, I think it's going to be a stretch to do all of those things, but that's what the job of the service is.
So understandably, there's been a lot of focus on operational pressures and of course COVID, but there's a real head of steam building up about the backlog, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There is a head of steam, and understandably so, because in the end, the NHS is there to serve patients, and patients, you know, are making it understandably very clear that, as they've always done, that for them, the length of time they have to wait to get treatment, be that either to see a GP, be that in an A&E department, or be that in terms of elective surgery, that's really important to them. And we know that in some cases, it's the difference, you know, between being in pain, being in really serious pain, conditions worsening or not. And, you know, everybody is aware of that. So, yes, there is a real head of steam building up. But I have to say, I've been really impressed by the quality of work that I've seen going on behind the scenes to create that elective plan, recovery plan. But just one little other point, Adam, which is let's just not forget that this isn't just about elective care backlogs. It's also about backlogs in mental health and community services. And I think it's really important when we're clear about where we need to go with electives that we look at those two as well.
So Chris, just reflecting on what we heard Saffron saying about health inequalities and race equality and that the differential impact of the pandemic, these are not new themes, are they? But there seems to be a real appetite for change now.
Well, I think what's happened is there's a combination of two or three or four things going on at once, aren't there? First of all, COVID has really, really shone a very bright light on health inequalities in terms of the differential impact. And some of the kind of stats are really, truly shocking in terms of, for example, you know, propensity In terms of serious illness in relation to COVID, for example, by index of deprivation, but also by ethnicity. They're really quite shocking. Then secondly, I think, and I have to say, I think this is really helpful, and I have to say, I think the Secretary of State is doing a good job on this, given what's happened over the last year, 18 months, in terms of George Floyd, and then actually, interestingly, that Azim Rafiq set of issues that I think has really brought a sharp focus in terms of, in this country, in the world of sport, I think it's brought those issues to the fore. If I may be allowed a small indulgence, which is that one of the standout moments for me in the conference was we had Sophie Williams, who's a broadcaster on these issues, and she did a really interesting session. And the two concepts that for me that really came out of them was, one, the first was the difference between not being racist in the way that clearly Azim Rafiq and others have experienced, and actually positively being anti-racist, and that the two are different, and that you need conscious effort to be anti-racist as an individual, as an organisation. And this other concept, which I thought was a really brilliant one, was, you know, those travelators that you get in airports, and, you know, everybody is moving in the same direction. And the point she made, I thought, for me, very powerfully, is that sense of, given the structural barriers in our society, given structural racism right the way, kind of an institutional racism, actually, you know, society is going on, the travelator is going in that direction, and we have to consciously decide that we are going to take positive action to go in the opposite direction. And that's that I thought was a really good challenge about what that means for organisations and for individuals to really address these issues. And it's something, as you know, Adam, that we're talking a lot about in NHS Providers, where we're trying to do our own work in this space as an organisation.
Absolutely. And we heard, didn't we, from Anita Charlesworth there on the changing climate of expectation towards the NHS as taxes go up to support health and care. What do you think we need to do to ensure the public and politicians understand what the NHS is up against?
Well, I think we need to communicate effectively about the pressures that we're under, but I think we need to get the balance right. If I'm honest, Adam, I've been a bit worried over the last few weeks about the extent to which some people are kind of saying, look, this is really, really impossibly difficult. You know, the NHS is about to break, fall over, tipping point, cliff edge. And I suppose one of the things, and again, you'll know this more than most, is that when we get into these periods of extreme pressure, it's really important that as leaders, we balance the fact of being honest and open about the scale of the pressure, but also we reassure patients that the NHS will be doing everything it can to treat everybody who needs to be treated as quickly as possible. And we'll also be reassuring our staff that they will get the support that they need. And I think one of the last lessons of the last 18 months has been the degree to which actually the NHS has been remarkably resilient at points of real pressure. So for me, and again, it's a phrase that you and I talk about a lot, is it's getting the right balance between the shade of how difficult things are, but also the light and the degree of optimism that we will get through this. And I think that's particularly important. And I thought Anita's point was really, really important, that actually the game has slightly changed here in terms of, you know, taxpayers are going to have to provide extra money for the NHS through the health and care levy. And that understandably will bring increased expectations of what the NHS is delivering. And there is a clear risk for the NHS that if we are not seen to deliver for that extra money, then, you know, people will think less of the service. And I think it's incredibly important that all of us in the service, but also our political leaders, manage expectations carefully about what can be delivered for that money. Because don't forget, we're only going back to the NHS long-term average of 3.8% annual funding increases, not the 1.5%, which is the aberration that we've had over the previous decade. We're not in the 6%, 6%, 6%, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years of 6% that we got in the first, in the early years of the 2000s. So expectation management, I think, feels very, very important here.
Okay, well, let's talk about Sajid Javid. He focused on leadership in his speech, didn't he? And I know you've raised concerns, potentially about leaders being set up to fail. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, in a sense, it links nicely and neatly to the last point, which is the fact that we've had these four long-term fault lines over the last decade. We've had that longest and deepest financial squeeze in NHS history. We're basically, we've got a broken workforce model. We've got 93,000 staff vacancies. We're basically asking our staff to try and bear an unreasonable workload. Third fault line is we've not been able to grow the capacity over the last decade because of that financial squeeze to meet the extra growing demand. And we know that the social care system has got under more and more pressure. And it's actually gone through yet another kind of increase in pressure over the last two or three months. So all of those things are very, very significant underlying factors that bring huge pressure on the NHS. And then came COVID. So that adds a whole bunch of things on top. So all I'm saying is you cannot recover from COVID and turn round the impact of those four decade-long structural fault lines in the space of, a few months, even a few years. So we just need to be, as I said, realistic about how much the NHS kind of can get through. And I know, some people, particularly perhaps I did refer into and another place to Noises Off Stage Right, that basically I'm sure Noises Off Stage Right will sort of, accuse me of kind of, the NHS resting on its laurels, taking advantage of its status as a national religion, all that kind of stuff that gets kind of trotted out. What I see is trust leaders who are extremely capable, extremely professional, doing a really, really difficult job as well as they possibly can in the circumstances. And I get frustrated and really on occasions angry about the way that, people are kind of sort of implying that somehow the NHS is inefficient. Yes, there are some things that can be improved, but we are one of the most efficient health services in the world. That somehow, NHS managers are actually not kind of, as a class, aren't particularly competent. Just not true. They are extremely competent. And I've worked in the private sector. I've worked at the top of one of the largest government departments. This class of leaders, I think, are doing a fantastic kind of job. So yeah, I just think we need to be supportive of people who are doing something that is incredibly difficult, rather than kind of constantly kind of implying, as some people are, that somehow they're being deficient, when actually there's a bunch of really difficult structural things that we're trying to address.
Chris Hobson, thank you.
You can join in the conversation by following us on Twitter and LinkedIn at NHS Providers with the hashtag The Provider Podcast, and keep up to date on future episodes by subscribing to the podcast.